T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
All right, Clint is back in the building. And Clint, if the Texans have any chance up in Cleveland as they take on the Browns, and they are a 12.5-point underdog, Farrell Brown, who you missed yesterday, told us, you'd be a fool if you bet that money. You're going to lose money if you think they're going to lose by more than 12.5 points. Tyler said he's already put money down on it. This helps.
You let Pharaoh talk you into that one, huh?
I was already kind of leaning that way, but he just kind of gave me a little nudge.
Keep in mind, his pockets are a little deeper than ours.
That's fair.
When he starts talking about for sures and money, he may just coming from a different place now.
I lied to him and said that I was going to to put money down.
That doesn't surprise me. I believe Tyler. Hill.
Never happened.
If you're moving your lips, you're lying.
That was never going to happen.
But
this does help. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski told Cleveland reporters that Odell Beckham Jr. will not play Sunday against the Texans. He did tear his ACL last week. He didn't play last week against the Chiefs, but he is out in this game.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I don't know if they have a real chance, if that 12.5 is real, but not having maybe you would say their top receiving threat out there is a thing that at least helps the Texans in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, like, as if they need to go with that run game, they've already got enough playmakers that it makes it very, very clear for Baker Mayfield to make most of his reads. And you know, when teams have to load up the box to stop the run, it just makes the game unbelievably simple for the quarterback and for the receivers and for the tight ends. I mean, it really, really does just clear things up significantly. And it's hard. You want to muddy the waters as a defense for a quarterback. And the Texans did a really good job of that this weekend with Trevor Lawrence. And it's just very, very difficult to muddy the waters when you talk about Baker Mayfield and his reads. They run the football until the reads are so simple. It's very easy to process where the ball should go. And then on top of that, they've got pretty damn good players on the other end of his throws that guys can go make plays. So as if they don't have enough playmakers already, adding Odell Beckham Jr. is the biggest problem for them is having enough balls to go around and keep all those guys happy. So I mean, it's common sense that them not having Odell clearly limits their options.
Yeah, do you imagine him one-on-one with Big Vern?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be – Big Vern would – yeah. That would be nasty.
And now it's Anthony Schwartz. So you'll take that. I don't know Anthony.
I'll take Schwartz. That. I don't know if I really like that one either. Is Anthony Schwartz a kid out of Ohio State?
I know he's number 81.
Is that the kid at Ohio State?
Is it Anthony Schwartz, Ohio State?
I think that's right.
Auburn.
Really?
Yeah, third round pick, 2021, rookie, Auburn, Anthony Schwartz. Were you thinking about Anthony Gonzalez?
Yes.
I think he's like a decade ago.
Well, I think he's a governor or something now.
I was going to say, look that up. Look up the last time Anthony Gonzalez played football that Clint had ready and set from Ohio State.
There we go. But it's obviously helps the Texans that Odell Beckham Jr. is not there, but I don't think it impacts like their ability to move the rock and their ability to score points and be aggressive when the run game gets clogged up. So, yeah, I mean, I'd rather Odell Beckham not be there, but
they still got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, David Njoku coming off the bench, Austin Hooper, Jarvis Landry, and then but it is different because it's Schwartz and Rashard Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Rashard Higgins, is that Colorado State? Can I get one right? Can I get one right? Rashard Higgins.
By the way, Anthony Gonzalez, who you were thinking of, last played in 2011.
Yeah, honestly,
Colorado
State. Yeah, see there? Got it.
You
one
got
for two.
It. You nailed
hey,
it.
I think Anthony Gonzalez, look it up. I think Anthony Gonzalez is now.
Is he in politics?
Yes, he is a governor or a mayor or something in politics. Don't remember exactly what it is. Not a big political guy, but I believe he has been in politics for quite some time now. So I was way off and probably should have knew better.
No, it helps. But also on the front for injury in terms of the game for the Texans, Clint, Lonnie Johnson Jr. is back at practice and on the field today, which is big because we haven't seen him hit the field since the Dallas Cowboys preseason game. He's had this thigh injury. He is back on the field and practicing today. And it's Wednesday, which means this is the first heavy day, which starts to give you more thought that it's realistic that he could play on Sunday, and he's a key guy for them.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me with Lonnie Johnson coming back, look, he's gonna play special teams. He's gonna be good depth for this football team. But I think his stuff plays against Cleveland Browns really, really well because they want to get physical. They want to run the football downhill. They're good enough to where you're going to. I mean, the third level of your defense. Earlier, I said second and third. Look, the third level of this defense being the safeties are going to have to make big time tackles this week, and they're going to have to play aggressive. They're going to have to throw their head around. They're going to have to take some risk and make some plays against this two-headed monster in this run game versus Cleveland to keep this team from getting gashed. I mean, there's going to be three or four plays where a safety comes down and he's going to either be on his heels and get shook out of his boots at 8 yards deep, or he's going to be a heat-seeking missile at 4 yards deep and cut down a running back. And I think Lonnie Johnson plays well as a heat-seeking missile. Not real sure about what he's going to look like in coverage and things
that's
of that
what
nature.
I was going to say. I was going to say, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. If you are running, you're Baker or you're an offensive coach for Kevin Stefanski for the Browns, and you know they got three safeties they like to play, Justin Reed and Eric Murray, and then Lonnie Johnson returning. You see Lonnie on the field, would that change in your mind what you're doing? Would you try to force him into coverage? No.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could try to force him into coverage by
design.
I'm just
saying, is that a red light?
I think here's the deal. I think Cleveland is a very confident football team. I think they got an identity, and I think they're going to stay. But it is Lonnie Johnson on the football field, and if when you do get in early in the game and you realize how you can get him in the game and get him in coverage versus David Njoku, either one of them. Will they design up a play to get him in coverage and get one of those guys on a corner route and get him chasing in man and get him grabbing and getting a PI or something like that in the red zone? Absolutely. Absolutely. He'll be targeted, yeah. But you got to – I will this week versus Cleveland, give me a safety that will get downhill and throw his head around and stop a run from turning into a 10, 12, even more of a chunk play than that. Give me that guy, and hey, if they dial the right thing up and make the throw and they get the matchup they want, then damn it, you made them work to beat you, that particular play. I'll take the guy that'll come down and get physical right now, because if you don't have that, Cleveland's going to just slow bleed you.
Yeah, it is. So if you missed it, Lonnie Johnson is back on the practice field, and already on Wednesday, the Browns have said Odell Beckham Jr. will not play in the game on Sunday versus the Texans.
Clint? Anthony Gonzalez, congressman for the state of Ohio.
There you go.
Big 3-3, number 2.
God, guys, Clint's on a roll here.
I'm killing it, man. I'm killing it.
I'm telling you.
Anthony Schwartz, he's an Auburn guy. I should have known that. I bet he was at Auburn when I was with the SEC Network. I should have known that.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it resonating to you yet? Do you see him? Do you remember? Because I don't remember him.
I do now that you say that. I should have.
Really?
I don't remember him.
Not to be a third-round pick, I don't remember – Auburn, well, hell, that was Auburn and Gus Malzahn with their offense. They're running out a lot of receivers.
What year did you say he came out?
This is a rookie.
Yeah, he's Anthony Schwartz is the one that's like a 4.240 guy.
Was he?
He's the track guy that was at Auburn. I believe, and I could be wrong again. So, correct me if I'm wrong out there if you listen. I'm sure you already have on that text line. No. I think Anthony Schwartz is the guy that was like a burner, and they were always trying to get him the ball in some kind of misdirection when Gus Malzahn was there. I think.
Yeah.
All right. I don't remember too many guys last name Schwartz that were 4-2 guys.
You're right. Schwartz is not hit two, but the hit two today will be the Astros. The Astros, they lose 8-1 yesterday. They are now 84-60. They're just trying to get to the end of the season. Let's just be honest. They're going to win the AL West. They got an eight. They got 18 games left. Zach Greinke is important, though. He returned from the IL and gave up 7 earned runs. But many people will focus on the 8-1 part, and it was over early. But it is one. It is 8-1. And I know some people are starting to get concerned about the up-and-down offense that they had. They scored 15 runs yesterday, and then they score – or 2 days ago, and then they score one. Yesterday, you're concerned the offense going into the postseason. You have any?
Well, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Monday night's game I missed because of weather, and then Tuesday's game I still didn't have my cable back, so I missed those two games. But I didn't get to see those games. However, I think there's still a lot of shuffling of the lineup.
Yeah.
And again, I got faith in the top seven guys that when need be, those guys will be.
And
rock solid
play yesterday.
Would you like to see him get healthy? Sure. Would you like to see him quit shuffling the bottom of the lineup? Yeah, sure. But the minute you say that, Siri goes out there and rips the cover off the ball. Right. I mean, so it's one of those where, yeah, I'd like to see him settle into their eight guys, because really, look, when you got seven bats the way the Astros do, we're talking about, hey, can we just settle the eight hole? I mean, can we settle the eight hole and figure out what we're going to do? So we're really bitching about, you know, what they do with the eight hole in the lineup when we're talking about this offense. So I'm not overly concerned as much as I would like to see Dusty quit shuffling as much as he can, which obviously guys have to get healthy, and some of that's out of his control.
Listen, I can understand the concern of the staff, especially even late in the game, the bullpen, the way Graveman has kind of been shaky at times, and Presley kind of had a weird last. I can get that. I can get the rotation where you could say, man, Greinke hasn't been going long. These guys are going to hit. These guys aren't going to go. And I see Tyler shaking his head. But these guys aren't going to go 3-4 games and just, I mean, all of them just suck ass every day. Like, they got too many guys that got pelts on the wall in the back of the baseball card where you're like, Altuve's not going to stink, followed by Correa and Brantley and Alvarez.
You
can put it all up there. They're not all going to stink.
To show that, look, I mean, if they do stink and that lineup messes the bed, it don't matter what the pitcher
does. Well, yeah, don't.
It just flat don't matter what they do versus the lineups that are going to be in the playoffs. If the Astros bats don't show up, like if we're sitting here going, it's one thing to not be great but still be good. Like, if they just flat-ass don't show up, if a handful of them don't, it don't matter what the pitching starters or the pen or the closer, it don't matter what they do. If this lineup doesn't show up in a way where we're sitting around going, okay, they're at least carrying their weight, hell, it's going to be a short-lived experience in the playoffs anyway. Tyler, don't turn your damn nose up at that. You know it's right.
I agree. I'm just a little nervous.
Big 3-3.
He's worse than me.
Number 3.
He's worse than I am. All right.
Y'all are hot butter, so.
Real quick, the NFL Players Association, Clint, determined Josh Gordon has successfully completed his NFL monitor treatment program and has recommended him to Roger Goodell and the league to be reinstated.
What are we doing? What are we doing here?
Again, do you know what Tyler said this morning?
What?
Tyler said, you think with the connections and Nick Caserio being there when New England went after Josh Gordon, you think there's a possibility that the Texans kick the tires around on Josh Gordon?
No. Let me answer that question. No.
Build some competition, baby.
The last thing you need to introduce to a locker room that's year zero of a rebuild that I'm not real sure isn't still in the teardown phase with last week's trade of Bradley Roby is to add a guy that's proven even millions of dollars isn't enough for him to put some of his demons aside.
If they can't, can't trust Kiki QT, I'll be damned if they feel like they can walk through.
But what did we say going into week one? What position group concerned everybody the most? And what were we looking at in black and white? Like, what the hell is going on? It was the receivers.
Yeah, it ain't Josh Gordon.
I'm not saying it should be. I'm just saying Caserio gave him a shot before.
I hope the best for him.
Look.
Everybody ought to be walking away from Josh Gordon at this point. I mean, to play football.
I agree.
to play football.
I think Tyler may be showing his affinity for some things and some extracurricular activities in life, being willing to.
Been a long time.
Coming up, Mark Ingram may have had said some things to make me change my tune. Or did he? We'll discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint, while you were out yesterday, I brought this thought up. After watching the Ravens play Monday Night Football and see their running game, especially from their backs, not named Lamar Jackson, it's not to where they need it to be, right? That they were dominant. They had guys in the backfield along with Lamar Jackson that could get going. Now they've signed a bunch of guys. They've had 3 guys go down, but you could tell they're not where they need to be. And I said, boy, you got to believe the Texans and the Ravens have had some conversations over the last couple weeks, since every single running back, it seems like the Ravens have, keep going down with season-ending injuries. And I said yesterday, would you, if you're Nick Caserio, even after game one, where, you know, he was the workhorse, Mark Ingram in the game, 86 yards, a rushing touchdown, you saw his impact. Would you trade him for, in return, a fifth-round pick? Would you do that straight up? Would you make that trade? I said I would do it. B. Scott said maybe, just said he didn't need to. Where would you be at on that?
Man, I'd make it ASAP.
Oh, you—it's not even a hard thought.
Quicker than a hiccup, baby.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a no-brainer for me. I love Mark Ingram. I love the way he plays the game. I love what he brings to the table, in every sense of the phrase. But there's no doubt about it. When you talk about a fifth-round pick, you're talking about Roy Lopez. You're talking about Charles Omenihu. You're talking about, you know, you're talking about some pretty damn good players, potentially.
And it's not a shoe-in. I mean, fifth-round picks, we see a lot of fifth-round picks that don't do anything. But
sure. Oh, yeah, you see a lot of them that don't do anything. Hell, I bet.
Brevin Jordan's a fifth-round pick who you feel like you got promised, but you could put together that to go get a guy like Nico Collins also in the third round to get other things.
It would be a valuable pick, man, and it's unfortunate because, I think Mark Ingram could be very valuable to this rebuild. But ultimately, man, what's going to be valuable to this rebuild is cheap labor, you know, young labor, you know, players that outplay their contracts or their draft spot, and it would be I just can't pass up the opportunity to trade an aging back that has a style that probably isn't going to age well in the league. I mean, I think he's – I love what Mark – I'm not – right now I don't look at Mark Ingram and go, oh, man, he's too old to be playing ball. He's not going to – he doesn't have any tread left on the tires. But when you look at how he plays the game and how long he's been playing the game, the odds are he's not going to be able to be effective in that particular manner for 3 more years.
Especially if he's being used the way he was game one, 26 carries. Yeah. Those it's not going to work. Well, let me try this, because David Culley – was on a mic'd up, and if you miss this mic'd up, it will get you going. I mean, they mic'd up Mark Ingram, and he is everything, big trust, all that.
Woo-hoo. I'm a rabbit.
That's right. He's all of it. He gets you going. You can see the effect he has on his teammates. He is one of those leaders, those dogs out there. But more importantly, a conversation that his head coach David Culley had with him on the sideline during the Jacksonville game. I'm wondering if this is something that may change your thought process a bit.
Your presence on this football team and what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Very important. It ain't just about yards. It's about having you here.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Yeah, I love you, coach.
All right, it's not about just yards, about having him here, and also the culture they're trying to establish. All of that, he seems to embody that. You just heard it from the head coach say that to him in the game. I don't even think David Culley knew he was talking to a live mic or something. He just seemed to go over there and share that with him. How important is that? Because you said cheap labor, fifth round pick, that could be something valuable. Either you'd use the pick to get higher somewhere to add, or you draft, as you said, Charles Omeniu, Roy Lopez, like a Brevin Jordan, guys with promise or playing. How valuable is Mark Ingram for a year? Because I'd be surprised if he's on this team next year. Mark Ingram for a year, setting whatever the culture is to, as you talked about, cheap labor.
He just short of a fifth round pick. I think it is very valuable. You know me, I'm a culture guy, man. I get like when even as bad as the word culture has been misrepresented in the city of Houston and with the Texans organization over the last few years since I've been covering them for damn sure. I'm still a culture guy. I'm not going to minimize the importance of culture and having a great culture as a foundation if you want to win long term. I'll never minimize that. And I think there's no question about it that Mark Ingram is a guy that is a leader in a sense of setting that culture and building that culture and building that foundation. But I'm not going to let one, because I listened to all 4 minutes of that cold-blooded mic'd up of Mark Ingram, and I absolutely loved it.
I ate it up.
I'm not going to let that trick me into making a decision that could end up.
Yeah, I'm not either.
You know, impacting the season, the team. Not in a major way. One fifth round pick, what is it? But if it's the pick you can couple with a third and move up into one again or move up into two, then you know those are things that I'm in. I'm in on those deals. So yeah,
the game, I'd have took a six. Like with the Ravens, when it happened, when the Ravens had guys going down, we were talking about it. Like, man, you gotta if you can pull this off and add something to it, you gotta do that to me. And I don't want to diminish how important that. Hell, you know more than I do in a locker room team that are losing and trying to change and establish things. I know that was something that happened with Parcells trying to establish things. I think he had guys in there that were probably Ingram-like. But
here's the deal, and I'm pleading the case for Mark after I said I would trade him for a five. Mark is a guy.
You can plead it. Don't mean you change your mind.
Twofold. Mark's a guy that can check a dude in the locker room.
Anybody.
And I'm not saying check them because they're acting. You know, in the locker room. I'm talking about dudes or say some young dude just don't get it. Like, man, you can't be in the streets and on that alcohol. You can't be in the streets chasing and staying out till 2 a.m. and then come. Like, you can't do that. Like, he's a guy that can genuinely and sincerely and effectively check that dude. And the dude not, get, you know, throw a hissy fit. Like, to me, he's a guy that can walk up and go, hey, man, like, what you're doing, that ain't it, man. It ain't gonna work. Yeah, and I'm trying to do
and
you a favor.
He would say it.
I'm trying to do you a favor, and I'm trying to do the team a favor. Like, you ain't going to have an NFL career doing this, and you ain't going to help us win doing this. And dude would listen, I think. You know, I think he is that kind of influence in a locker room show. And so, that's extremely valuable. I think he could check the team. If the team's having a bad day and guys aren't dialed in and it's a big week, I could see him calling the guys together in the middle of the field and going, hey, man, get it right. This ain't it right here.
But to go with what you're saying, I completely agree. And that is valuable, and I can understand the value. One, I think you got some other guys on this team that can do that. I think Justin Britt is a guy that has that within him, can do that. I think Christian Kirksey is a guy that can do that. I think Justin Reed, now is coming to his own, is a guy that can do that. I think you got cats that can do it. Maybe not to the extent of Ingram, but I think you got guys that can do it. And that can't be more valuable than moving forward to the future. Like, they got to stack. They got to stack these guys and take as many swings at young players that can help. Because even if they bring a guy, hell, let's say they find a guard in the fifth round or a slot corner, that cat over the next 4 years is going to be more valuable than Mark Ingram for the next 16 games.
Right. Yeah.
And
you think about it, like it the odds of them finding a Charles Omenihu or Roy Lopez or the slot corner you're talking about or whoever it may be, the odds of them finding that kind of value in the fifth round, it goes up tremendously if you got two swings at it instead of one.
Yeah.
Right? Because you already got your own fifth round pick. And so now you got two. You at those two, you got one, you got a 50-50 chance. You got a hit on one of them jokers. I agree. As much as I love Mark Ingram and everything he stands for, I think the future of the organization is more important, and a fifth-round pick would be nice to have.
All right, the injury report is out for the Texans. There are some names on there that did not practice today, which could be concerning if they'll play on Sunday. We'll tell you those names coming up next.
I'm a bowling ball / a rabbit / jitterbug, all of that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint, the injury report is out, and this is on the Texans side. Players that did not participate, and remember, this is Wednesday, so this is the first practice heavy day. Not major concerns if they don't participate at all. You really start to look at tomorrow, day two. If they're guys that just don't participate there, that's some level of concern going into. But Pharaoh Brown, ankle and shoulder issues. He did not participate at all. Desmond King did not participate with the knee issue. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, the linebacker, did not participate with the thigh issue. And then wide receiver, really not wide receiver, kick returner and punt returner, Andre Roberts with the knee. And, of course, Deshaun Watson didn't participate either for non-injury related. But
sitting right beside you, you know, when we popping champagne.
That's right. One day, man.
Well, we went the wrong direction for that to happen, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Lonnie Johnson, limited back on the field, though, with a thigh issue. And then Jonathan Grenard, full participant, who's had his issues as well. But Pharaoh Brown, Desmond King, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, those are three basic starters for you.
Well, I mean, two of them play the same damn position. Look, one of them is my dude now, Pharaoh Brown. You got to get on the field now. I mean, I'm pleading for you to get a damn extension, and we got the availability is the number one ability.
Yeah, he certainly didn't sound like he had an ankle or shoulder issue yesterday.
Let's just hope it's precautionary, and it's the team is going, hey, look here, we know how important you are, man. We need to give you a little rest on Wednesday.
What is this? Is this something you think do you think this may be the new form? I think I've heard Sean and Seth talking about this a little bit. You think this is maybe not much to do with, or this may be the new form of load management now with an extra week, that maybe certain guys may get just a flat day off during practice? Although this is just week two, which seems early. But I'm wondering if this is going to be – because I'm telling you, we talked to Pharaoh Brown. There was nothing about that man that didn't sound like he wasn't playing.
Right. Yeah. I think with the tug of war, if you will, between the NFL and the NFLPA, and ultimately between players and coaches, you know, I think there has to be a happy medium reached where the load management is not necessarily what's best for the player or what's necessary, but what they agree upon.
Yeah.
And I do think there is, and I don't know the degree of legitimacy in terms of, like, how legit is it that with a 17-week season and less work throughout the offseason and throughout training camp and no contact ever other than on Sundays during the season, you know, how much does the coaching staff need to bend and load manage when they've never done that before?
Yeah.
I think that's always going to be a constant tug of war, but I do. To your point, your question being, is this a new norm for
we'll just see guys that are just
– when you get guys that play a more physical position or play a position with a more physical nature, Could I see where the coaches strategically place off days, you know, for a player throughout the year so that that player gets, you know, 15 weeks worth of a workload but really gets 17 games in? Yes. I could see where a coaching staff would say, all right, instead of us going, hey, Farrell Brown, we got 17 games this year and that's too much of a workload on you. Won't you take week nine off? Yeah. And we'll give you the rest. Instead of that, I could see them, you know, managing his workload over, you know, every 2 weeks giving him a day off of practice, and then at the end of the year, that's equivalent to 10 days off, so to speak. Whatever the math is irrelevant. But I could see that being more of an approach than them not having a player play that day. Because let's be honest, these players, especially guys in a contract year like Farrell Brown, I want to play on Sunday. I mean, outside of just that's when you can go play the game, and that's what you love since you were a kid. But quite frankly, those numbers are going to impact your earning power in negotiations. And so sitting out one of 17 games really doesn't help the coach or the player, truth be told. So, yeah, I could see that, show. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I could see that being the case.
Because I wonder if we'll just start seeing that popping up out of nowhere. Hey, Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Look, Laramie Tunzel, non-participant, and they just put something up there, shoulder, or illness, or something where they just periodically get days off. Once again, the injury report's out. Players that just did not participate: Farrell Brown, Desmond King, Kevin Pierre-Louis, Andre Robertson, of course, Deshaun Watson. Those top three are guys that are basically starters when you look at Desmond King when teams run three wide.
Yeah.
They're basically starters.
That's where I would worry about this report. I'm not worried about Farrell Brown. Even if it is legit and there's something wrong, he's a tough SOB. He's going to be on the field on Sunday.
You listened to him yesterday. If you missed that, use that Odyssey Rewind feature. He was with us 318 yesterday. Go back on that. He ain't sound like somebody who's not going back to his hometown to play.
And with him, if it's workload, you know, oriented, then I understand that too, because he plays a position that is physically one of the more demanding positions in the game. But so I'm not worried about Farrell Brown right now. The one that worries me is the combination of Des King and Kevin Pierre-Louis, because they play the same position. They're both starters.
Yeah, linebacker. I mean,
right?
Well,
yeah.
Kevin's an outside linebacker.
Right, but I mean, they're the same person on the field, right? So you're down to your number two Sam linebacker, and you're down to your number two nickel defender.
Yeah.
You never have your if they're in 21 or if the personnel, which is two backs, one tight end, and two running backs, or 12, which is one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. It don't matter. Like that, you need a Sam linebacker in there.
Somebody on the field on those.
Yeah. Well, now you got your second string Sam linebacker, which I'm pretty confident that they'll figure that out with the speed that they have at that position. But then when they go three wideouts or even four wideouts, you'd love to have Des King in one of those slots cover. And, well, now you don't have Des King. Now you got to have your second-best nickel defender in there. So the combination of those two guys not practicing is something to keep an eye on. I'm not worried about it, but it's something to keep an eye on, because if both of those guys are missing, then you've got a second-string player, regardless of what personnel the offense is in. That could end up hurting the Texans.
And I would imagine Andre Roberts is really hurt, because I don't know why he would need a day off.
I agree with you.
He would need a planned day off.
I agree with you.
Like, so that's the injury report. That's the latest out with the Texans so far. And if you missed it earlier, Odell Beckham, he has been ruled out already for the Browns, so he's not going to play. That's also on the injury report. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley in with you. Tyler producing this on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Jay Glazer, one of the top football reporters, one of the top newsbreakers in the NFL. He was speaking about Deshaun Watson, and there was something that he said here that was really interesting that I think it's a good discussion point on how the Texans are handling Deshaun Watson.
I don't see a scenario where Deshaun Watson ever plays for the Texans again. And the wild part is he's still working out for the team because he's still on their active roster, but they're keeping him separated from everybody else on the roster. They want this to be Tyrod Taylor's team.
That's interesting in a bit to me, though, that he's still on the team. Obviously, we know he's one of the 53 on the roster and is just going to be inactive every week that he's on the team. But according to Jay Glazer, and we don't generally see him when the media is out there for the short period of time they're allowed to be out there. They're keeping him separate from everybody, as he said, because they want to make sure this is Tyrod Taylor's team. That's a kind of an interesting way they're handling it. Do you think that's the appropriate way they should handle it to keep Deshaun away? Because to the teammates, it doesn't seem like he has been an issue during training camp while he was out there and there. And Tyrod Taylor has talked about he's a teammate, he's a guy, and he's fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think my only problem with that particular report is the message that the Texans have been have been giving us. You know, let's say that Jay Glazer is referring to the fact that he's not on the practice field, and that's the extent of his knowledge, and he's saying, well, they're separating the team. Okay, if that's the case, then I'll buy both sides, right? I'll buy what Jay Glazer's saying, and I'll buy what the Texans have been trying to sell us in a sense of he's in the building, he's doing what we ask him to do, he's getting his work in, he's in meetings, mm-hmm. right? The only problem with that is I've heard you say multiple times, is Jay Glazer's typically a guy that doesn't hot take and doesn't – he typically has a source. So if there's a source in that building that's telling Jay Glazer and accurately reporting back to Jay Glazer – that Deshaun Watson, they moved his locker to a different area in the facility. And he's working out in the weight room while they're on the practice field to make sure there's no
– he's not in meetings. Contact. He's not – you would
right.
imagine. If he's separate from
– if that is the case, which I don't know. I'm not calling Jay – I'm not saying Jay's source is accurate. Or I'm not saying the Texans aren't being honest. But if that is the case, and the whole time the Texans are out there preaching – that he's in meetings and that he's doing everything they ask him to do, and you know he's talking to his teammates and all of that, then I think you've got some problems. Again, there's a potential blow up here with the Houston Texans in terms of them just not being transparent with that particular Deshaun situation, Deshaun Watson situation. In fact, I would say they're not only not being transparent, but they would be going out of their way to tell a lie about what the hell's going on with Deshaun Watson, which really wouldn't surprise me either way. But the report itself show for me, it casts a little bit of light on is he talking about the fact that he's not at practice, or are they
about
really
overall,
are they really
from everything.
It sounds like he's saying they're separating him from everything.
Yeah.
Because when I think about,
because they want it to be Tyrod's team,
right,
the way that they put that out there.
Right. When you follow that up with that, well, they want it to be Tyrod's team, so they're keeping Deshaun separate from, like, when I hear that, I immediately think about the off-the-field stuff. Like, I don't give a damn what you're doing on the field. Like, Tyrod's out there in the huddle with the guys. They know it's his team at that moment. To me, when I hear somebody say, oh, well, they're keeping Deshaun completely separate because they want it to be Tyrod's team and have no dispute, then that tells me that Deshaun's not in meetings. And Deshaun's not, again, his locker's not in the locker room where he can rub elbows with all the guys on a daily basis. His name's not on the workout list in the weight room when you go into workout as a team.
Is that a bad thing? I'd say the wrong way, potentially wrong way of handling it is making that distinction, saying, all right, man, we all know what the thing is. We all know what this is. We all know what's going on.
Yeah, I would be, if I were the coach, which I'll make it loud and clear, if I were the coach, things would have never gotten to this point. But if I were the coach and I were in the situation where Deshaun's saying, nah, I'm out, I would remove Deshaun Watson from the equation. Yes. And not because I'll say this, I've said it a million times. I do not believe that Deshaun Watson is a guy that would in any way, shape, or form tell them that he wants out, which he has done, and then turn around and disrupt what they're trying to do, moving beyond him. Like, I don't think – but as a decision maker, I would remove it from the equation because I don't think it's always about him. It's about the other players and what their mind – where their mind goes if he's in the picture.
I was going to say his presence is is a distraction to me.
Yep.
Like, I mean
– well, his intentions – the thing is, show is like with him, his intentions could be good,
yeah,
but we all know, like – I feel like I've always got really good intentions, but a lot of times people perceive them they receive them differently. And I think you're opening yourself to those kinds of things with a room full of guys that could that could derail the situation.
Well, I'm just like I said, like you said, it's not even saying that he is coming in and being conniving and saying I'm going to run, right. I'm going to TO this thing and run it right off the right. rails. But I think his presence, like if they, let's say they go into this game Saturday or Sunday, and they're playing the Browns, and let's say this thing is close, and they end up losing like 24-17, and they've had chances, and the defense is done. They're like, it's going to be hard to think in practice, or we look over him on the sideline, and we get going on Monday and know that cat's over there on our team, out here at the facility practicing, and he's not playing. Like, that's just, for some people, human nature. You're going to look over there, and his pure presence is a distraction. Like, this is, like, there's probably some guys who have a Larry and Stafford thought process over there that will just lose it. My God, we could have beaten the Browns. Look at this.
Yeah.
And he's sitting over here warming up, and he's the best guy out here, clearly. I think removing that, just not even there to even have him to be
out of
seen.
Sight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is. I mean, you know, for me, there's a lot of, I mean, that's a living space. You know, the locker room for players ultimately is a living space. You shower together, you sauna and hot tub together, you cold tub together. Hell, you get dressed and for the game. And, you know, after everything you do together. And it is, I mean, it would be hard. All right, I'll put it to you this way. I don't think, because I do think Tyrod Taylor is an unbelievable elite leader of men. I do think that. I think he's got an unbelievable ability to do amazing things in adverse situations. Like, I think he's proven to be that guy. And so I don't think it would bother him on a day-to-day basis. But I do believe that it would be difficult. It would be more difficult than it should be. I'll put it that way. Like, I'm not, like, it would be more difficult than it should be for Tyrod Taylor to take over this locker room the way he needs to take over the locker room if Deshaun Watson were present. There's no question about it, and that's not a knock on Deshaun. It's not a knock on Tyrod Taylor. It's not a knock on anybody. It's just the reality of the situation. When you got two alphas that do the same thing and in a room, I think it's hard for one to take over the locker room and completely own the locker room when the other one is still in the shower and in the hot tub and in the sauna and playing dominoes in the middle and watching, you know what I mean? On the training room and in the cafeteria.
And you've been in the position of Tyrod Taylor. Like, I mean, as a quarterback of the NFL, like, if you gave him truth serum, what do you think he would say? Like, I would imagine he would rather not have that potential. I mean, it's a distraction. That I don't know any other way to
put it. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I think he would rather be like, oh, man, I don't want to have this fighting battle. I don't want to have, you know, guys looking over
each other.
Because just his presence, as I said, there's an impact to guys that he played with last year. Mm-hmm. Tunzel, all these guys that know about him. And, like, I would think that Tyrod Taylor would also be in the camp of, hey, if it's going to be – my crew, let me have it to be my crew and give me a fighting chance for this to be my crew, as you're talking about.
Yep. I don't know the impact. I can remove the two personalities and Tyrod and Deshaun away, from the conversation, and simply say that it is more difficult for Tyrod Taylor to take over the locker room the way he needs to when there's another alpha in the room that essentially, you know, carries the same weight or swings the same stick, so to speak, that Tyrod Taylor does. It's more difficult than it should be, right? It's more difficult than it would be if Deshaun were not there. And so I don't know if the report from Jay Glazer is accurate or not. I've got some questions about what exactly is he referring to on the field or overall. But I do agree with his overall point of, if you want this to be Tyrod Taylor's team, it would be a lot easier for that to get that accomplished if Deshaun Watson didn't have his toes up playing dominoes in the locker room every time he was in there.
Yeah, I would imagine, as you said, that's their space, and if that's true, I would say this is the move that I would agree with. You know, separating for best for this team and the future down the line for them. All right, coming up, Clint Sterner's football at 4. You will not believe, if you haven't heard this yet, you will not believe what David Culley had to say about his quarterback. It is unbelievable. The performance he put together, what David Culley has to say about Tyrod Taylor, you don't want to miss. That's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.